to this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I like to ask obvious questions, so bear with me. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Obvious question, because if you're here this evening, the chances are, it's an easy question for you to answer because you've probably been baptized. Now, I'm not assuming everyone here has been baptized. I don't know for sure. But my guess is for most of us here, if you're baptized and a practicing member of the church, you probably think of yourself, as you should, as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But it's not necessarily an easy question to answer, and I was thinking about those disciples in the first reading, Peter and John. Peter and John and all those first disciples of Jesus, they had to figure out what that exactly meant, didn't they? Because they were the first generation of Christians. No one had marked out a path for them to follow so they would know what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I shouldn't have said no one. Obviously, someone marked out the path for them to follow. Jesus did. So the portrait of Jesus in the gospel, his self-portrait, would have been kind of a signpost for them. This is the direction we all need to go. We are all supposed to be like this. Remember, there had been no one Christian before them. It was brand new. They only had Jesus as a point of reference. And sometimes I think, you know, it's a disadvantage for us that we've had all these generations since then, because we keep on looking back at other people a lot like us, and they only had Jesus as a point of reference. So Jesus describes himself this way, and over again, well, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. And what does that mean, Good Shepherd? Over and over again, he explains, it's a very simple explanation, not an easy explanation, but very simple. He says, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he goes on, he says that several times in the reading, I lay down my life in order to take it up again. I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. Four times he says, what defines Jesus is he lays down his life for his sheep. And Peter and John and all of those first Christians, men and women, young and old, rich or poor, that was their point of reference. And many of them, of course, like Peter and John, would have been eyewitnesses to the time when Jesus laid down his life, which, as you know, is when he died for us and for all people on the cross. They would have understood very clearly what they were doing in a way that I think is harder for us to understand. That to be a disciple of Jesus Christ means that we are ready, you and I are ready, to lay down our life for God's people. And if that's the definition of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are ready to lay down your life for God's people, I would suggest, at least for myself, I don't know about you, that we should think of ourselves perhaps as we're on a journey. I'm not sure I'm there yet. Now, there are people among us, and this Sunday is sometimes called Good Shepherd Sunday because we read this gospel the fourth Sunday of Easter, and we can see very clearly that they have given their whole lives for God's people, like Father Gary. I don't want to put you on the spot. He's blinded, actually, at the moment, so he's like in a spotlight. Anyway, the point is, Father Gary and all of our priests and all those who have followed a very special calling from God to serve his people, like our religious, our nuns, and so on, our sisters, we can see, right? The rest of us can see they've dedicated their whole lives to serving God's people. But it's not just for them. Remember the question I asked, the really obvious question with an obvious answer? It's all of us. And just in the last couple of weeks, Pope Francis issued a letter on how we're all called to be holy. It's called Rejoice and Be Glad. on the call to holiness in today's world. And I believe what he says of what it means to be holy is very much like the question I just asked you. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Remember what Jesus demonstrates or displays about himself. He says, I'm the good shepherd because I lay down my life for the sheep. And Pope Francis says the same thing. He says, the Lord asks everything of us. The Lord asks everything of us, and in return, he offers us true life, the happiness for which we were created. He wants us to be saints. He wants us to be saints. So all of us, all of God's people, our priests and our religious and all the rest of us, we're all called, actually, asked by Jesus to give everything to him in order to become saints, to receive the happiness for which he made us. We're all called to be holy by living our lives with love and by bearing witness in everything we do. And that is the journey that Peter and John and all those first Christians were on. You know, we are actually on the same journey today. Now, I'm not going to explain everything the Pope said in this letter. There's a lot there. But I think if I were to boil it down to something that might be helpful for you this evening, it would be to invite you to think about what would it look like if you did what Jesus did, which is to lay down your life for God's people. What would it look like for me? What would it look like if you did what Pope Francis says God asks of us, to give everything to him? And what it would look like might be described this way, and I'm quoting the Pope again. He says, each saint, remember, disciple of Jesus Christ, saint, more or less mean the same thing. Each saint is a mission planned by the Father for a specific moment, a message which the Holy Spirit takes from the riches of Jesus Christ and gives to his people. And you need to see all of your life as a mission by listening to God in prayer and recognizing the signs he gives you. So what would it mean for you or me to give everything to God? It would mean to see our lives as a mission planned out by God the Father before we were born. And our task is to listen in prayer so that he will tell us, which he will, if we listen in prayer, what it is he wants of us that day, that week, and for the rest of our lives. It doesn't mean we're going to get it right, but if we listen in prayer, he will reveal to us, he will give us signs to lead and guide us. What tends to happen, a couple of different things, for us when we start to embark on this journey, which we're all on. We're all on this same journey, actually, because we're all made for this. We will be led to people in trouble. It's not a coincidence by any means. Very often what we read about Jesus is miraculous healings. Peter and John, what have they just done? They had done a miraculous healing. By what power, by what name did you do this? And Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. They say, proclaim in the name of Jesus Christ. So there may be, in fact, I would say more often than you might think, often are signs that accompany our being drawn to people who are hurting, people who are suffering, people who are poor, people who are in trouble. Miraculous signs like healings and other such things will accompany this kind of mission when we undertake it. But the point is, we will be drawn to people in need. And that's for a very important reason. And the reason is, I'm quoting the Pope again, our first and most important relationship is our relationship with God. But we cannot forget that the ultimate criterion on which our lives will be judged is what we have done for others. And he quotes Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Jesus says, whenever you did this for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. Come on into heaven. And to the others who didn't do that, he said, whatever you did not do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did not do for me. I do not know you. It's kind of simple. but intimidating, at least it can be. And so Pope Francis goes on to say, I mentioned he says to us, which I think every saint has known, that the best way to discern if our prayer is authentic is to judge to what extent our life is being transformed in the light of mercy. This is the criterion he suggests. How do you know if you're on the right track, if you're on the journey following the Good Shepherd? What does the Good Shepherd do? He lays down his life for the sheep. You will know, and I will know, that we're on the journey following our Shepherd, Jesus Christ, when we are giving our lives for people, when we're living lives that are merciful for others. And the incredible thing is, whenever we do that, as Jesus said himself in that parable in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, who do we meet? We meet Jesus. You did it for me. And the reason we, who are the disciples of Jesus, are drawn, we actually are drawn to people in need. We are drawn to approach them with mercy and tenderness and love. Whether we feel that naturally or not, that's what God places in our hearts through the power of his Holy Spirit, is so that we can meet him. The same Jesus whom we celebrate today in the Eucharist fills us and leads us out so that we can meet him again in people in need. When I say out, I don't exclude people in here right now. I always think whenever I see a group of people in church or anywhere, I'm sure, 99% sure, there are some of us here tonight who really need someone to show them tenderness and mercy. It's not just out there, it's here as well. Could be any one of us or more than one of us. Now, this is kind of a journey, like I said. But what we're being asked for is not a little. We're not even being asked for a lot. We're being asked for everything. And that's hard to do. And when you try, and I'm guessing you have tried, to show mercy to people, you will find what the Pope talks about, what I've experienced as well when I've tried, is that it doesn't always work out the way that you want or hope. And God does not look for you, Mother Teresa said this, to be successful. Saint Teresa, of course she became a saint, was recognized as a saint. God does not look for you to be successful, but faithful. Faithful to the shepherd whom we're all trying to follow and we're all trying to be like in order to be on that journey to being disciples of Jesus. And something that happens on this path is reflected in the way that Jesus was talked about by Peter in the first reading. This is what he said about Jesus. And this description of Jesus can apply to us as well. He says, Jesus is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. Jesus is the stone that is rejected. That was the refrain to the psalm, Psalm 118. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. We will find ourselves rejected. People don't always want mercy. They don't always want it. Or sometimes people around us don't like it when we are trying to show mercy. And sometimes that's us. We don't like it when other people are showing mercy for different reasons. Ultimately, because we are sinners, we're sometimes afraid, but we shouldn't be. In fact, Pope Francis says, humility, and humility is the key to following Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Humility can only take root in the heart through humiliation. Holiness is bestowed on the church through the humiliation of Jesus, the Son of God. It's only because he humiliated, ultimately suffering and dying for us on the cross, that we receive salvation and the opportunity to be holy as he is holy. And he quotes St. Bonaventure, who says, this is our logic, meaning our way of thinking. This is our logic, says St. Bonaventure, pointing to the cross. This is what makes sense to us, even if it doesn't make sense to others. Sometimes it's hard for it to make sense to us as well. And that's why I think we really need silence. We really need to pray. I know I need to pray more. My guess is we all do. Because in silence, the Pope goes on to say, we can discern in the light of the Spirit the paths of holiness to which the Lord is calling us. Because it's very specific. The Pope says, you're not called to be holy like St. Francis of Assisi or St. Teresa of Lisieux, as great as they were, they're called to be holy like you. You have a very specific path that God wants to lead you on. And it takes silence, prayerful silence in the light of the Holy Spirit, to see the path as he's calling us into it. And that silence is our time, he says, to look at the face of Jesus prayerfully. What does that mean? It means, for example, reading this gospel again next week in silence and asking him to reveal to you what would that look like if you laid down your life for others, if I laid down my life for others. Silent contemplation of the face of Jesus allows us to find the path that we are to be led on. Now, why are we here? It's definitely for ourselves. This is our place of encounter with Jesus Christ, who is our shepherd, who feeds us. That's why we do think and definitely use the word pastor, which means shepherd, to refer to our priest, because it's at the hands of our priests who are giving their lives for us that we receive Jesus, who feeds us with himself. But when we are fed by him, if we receive him, not just physically but spiritually, we will become like him. And we'll be going down this path that will look foolish to others. We'll say, no, no, that makes sense. Take a look. That's our logic. And yes, there will be rejection and humiliation. True. But also, as the Pope says, always joy. It's a joyful path. If you're on the right path, the path that the Holy Spirit is marking out for you and leading you on, there will be joy. And that's why, really, there's an incredible passage in today's second reading. This has often struck me as a dramatic thing about who you and I are and who we are going to become if we follow the path of being disciples of Jesus, of becoming the saints that we are called to be. It is very dramatic, I think. St. John writes in his first letter, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. Beloved," and it goes on to say, "the reason the world does not know us is because it did not know him." The world does not understand, meaning the powers of evil that are out there do not understand who we are and what we're about. But he goes on, "We are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed." It's marvelous what he says. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, that means when Christ comes again in glory, we will be like him. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is.